We are privileged to have this morning as the speaker in our service of worship, Dr. M. Ray McKay. Dr. McKay received his Ph.B. degree from Shirtliff College in Illinois, his Th.M. and Ph.D. degrees from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kentucky. He has studied at the University of Chicago, Garrett Biblical Institute, and the University of Edinburgh. Dr. McKay has been pastor of the First Baptist Church of Aurora, Illinois, the First Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, and the Second Baptist Church of Little Rock, Arkansas. It was from this last Baptist church that he came to Southeastern Baptist Seminary in 1962, the second year of the seminary's existence, to become the professor in preaching. He taught for approximately 13 years on this campus. He is now emeritus professor of preaching of Southeastern Seminary. He provided for many of us in the first years of the life of this seminary a stimulus to find out what preaching was about, to engage in it as best we could, and through his own preaching and instruction in the classroom, a tremendous love for the proclamation of the Christian gospel. Dr. McKay has recently returned from a period of instruction at the Baptist Seminary in Nassau. He is, of course, always welcome on our campus, and we are particularly happy to have him lead us in worship today.
Thank you, Dr. Owen. Now, in spite of all that, let us listen for the word of the Lord as it is recorded in various selections from the Old and New Testament. And Isaiah said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And Jesus said, Go ye into all the world, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. But said the Spirit, tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high. Then ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Jerusalem, and finally unto all the earth. For how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as Isaiah said, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. And may the Spirit which inspired the writing interpret for us the truth. Let us join to pray. Our Father, we are grateful for experiences which give us assurance that when men gather in Thy name, Thou art in the midst. We would fulfill the condition. We would recognize Thy presence this morning. Do for us, we pray Thee, what Thy wisdom and love would diagnose as needed, and then bestow upon us enough of Thine own wisdom and strength and love that we may go out to fulfill Thy purpose for us. We pray for our school and for all those connected with it. We pray for the large group of alumni and thank Thee for the many who are earnest and effective workers. Our Father, wilt Thou by Thy Spirit guide, give diligence and insight and uprightness, that the work may be strong and useful in Thy sight. We thank Thee for the high privilege of prayer, and would accept Thy invitation to come boldly to a throne of grace, from which mercy comes and blessing geared to our need and to the need of those for whom we pray. And so we pray for those who are near and dear to us who need Thy blessing, and with lifted eyes we would look upon the world and pray that Thou wilt do that which we have failed even to begin, and prosper the work that we have begun that pleases Thee. And by Thy Spirit convict men of evil, men of all the nations, where they're wrong and contrary to that which is constructive and upright, and then prosper with courage and strength all those who seek to be instruments in the fulfillment of Thy purpose. And in this hour, we would honor Thee and await Thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps the opportunity and problems and qualifications for missionary service in the Bahamas could be as well represented in a travelogue as any other way. And of course, even as I speak, you'll be conscious, and I am, of the fact that as we look at this tiny spot on the surface of the earth, we find a specific situation differing in many ways from others, but at the same time, alike mission fields clear around the world, in challenge, in problem, in opportunity, in the demands it makes upon those who would engage in missionary service at any of these points. Mrs. McKay and I landed in Nassau just 24 hours before Betsy. The trip across from Miami to Nassau is a lovely trip because it is so short that the plane does not fly high as you've been flying, no matter from where you came. And so you can see very distinctly the chains of islands as they begin to appear. Grand Bahama is less than 50 miles from the coast of Florida, and the chain of islands in the Bahamas extends for more than 100 miles south of there. And you have only flown a few minutes until you begin to see the reefs appear and the water takes on multiple hues because of the various depths over which you fly. Some of it will be a lovely green in the sunlight, and then again deep blue. And the clouds are always near about and white and lovely. All of this is just a sort of promise or prelude to what you'll see when you arrive. But the plane which takes you to Nassau has brought you to one of the lovely spots of the world. Well, in our case, there was a whole group of people there to meet us, all the missionaries, and a few of the nationals also. Now, that airport is two-thirds of the length of the island away from the city of Nassau and from the missionary headquarters. And you start to drive down a lovely highway bordered with the royal palms and ornamented with flowers that are radiant and vivid. There's bougainvillea and poinsettia and two, three others that my wife told me about as I came over. Anyhow, it's a beautiful country. And soon you'll be driving near the shoreline, and at no other place, so far as I remember, have I seen such variety in the colors of the water, in reefs almost everywhere with the white foam of the dashing waves always in sight. If you drive down the main street and continue on for some miles, you go past some of the loveliest homes you've ever seen. Most of them are built with masonry, and they are painted in a variety of pastels. Just now, a coral pink seems to be the favorite. But you see blue as dark as this, and then much lighter blues, and then greens, and sometimes the more somber browns. You see there's great wealth here. And you then will be a bit surprised at the next drive you take out in the middle of the island and out in the center of the city of Nassau, and you find abject poverty. The family, the father and mother with 12 children, they don't always have 12 children. Sometimes there are 15. But the families living in one room with a dozen children are crowded four or five houses to lot, congested and poor. Now, as you went down the street in Nassau, you saw 75% white people and 25% Negro people. But as soon as you got away from that street, the proportions reversed, and you saw 75% of the people with dark skins and 25% with white skins. Maybe there's maybe only 20% of the people are white and 80%, some such appearance as that as you drive. Now, the school where I taught is a part of the Southern Baptist missionary enterprise there. It has a high school and a theological institute. Both are quite important in the meeting the needs of the situation, because the British government supports only one government high school in the Bahamas, in Nassau. The only city of New Providence, the city you've known most about in the Bahamas. And this high school has only 400 students. And 400 students out of a population of 65 or 75,000 means that only a few of the people have the opportunity for public education in the high school. A number of church groups have high schools, and we have a high school. The theological seminary takes the young man when he has graduated from high school, maybe a little before he graduated, and he might be working both together. And these young men are sincere and vigorous and intelligent. Although all of my students were men without high school, without any college education, I was able in the second semester, when I worked on the delivery of sermons, to discover that there were some good preachers among them. I have a little advantage, you know, in being specific here, of course, but I have several colored boys over there that are just as good as Dr. Shriver and Dr. Owen, who learned what they know about preaching from me, which, well, whatever it was. Anyhow, they're real fine, real able men. Some of them are gentlemen of unusual ability. Now, our school has been represented in the mission work in the Bahamas almost from the beginning. And I'm very glad to say to you and to tell you the truth that the three families, the Bradys, Otis Brady first, and now Bob Hensley, and Carol Veach, these three families have made wonderful contributions. All the men have been men of integrity and goodwill and strength and sincerity. Otis Brady was there first and made a contribution which about which all of us may rejoice. I was in a prayer meeting in the Central Baptist Church, which is the mother Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church in Nassau, and heard four different leaders stand up to say, four of the present leaders of the church, the superintendent of the Sunday school, the training union director, the choir master, and the chairman of the, and the president of the Woman's Society. Those four present leaders, each one stood up one by one and said, Otis Brady led me to the Lord. And one deacon, a very fine, able businessman, said, Mr. Brady meant more to me spiritually than anybody else I've ever known. I was quite proud of that. I believed in it. I believe greatly in him. Bob Hensley is doing fine work. You'd be interested to know that in the Haitian mission, which he operates as a sideline beside his teaching, he has had more conversions and baptisms in the last 6 months. He has had four times as many as the mother church and the other two missions. And Bob would be the first person to tell you he's the poorest kind of an evangelist the world ever knew, but he's a Christian, and he is a man of competence. Veach is up in Freeport. I'll have to leave him and the gamblers from Miami alone there because I don't have time to tell you about them. The other teachers in the seminary, one from Southwestern, one from Louisville, make up the present staff. Now, the Baptists in Nassau are the most numerous of all the denominations. But there's very little cooperation now between the Southern Baptist group and the National Baptist group, unfortunately. The National Baptist group are poorly regarded in the city. They are, well, many of them are ignorant people, most of them ignorant on church people. Some of the preachers are notoriously both crooked and immoral. so that the great group of the people are greatly in need of an improved Baptist witness. And the other denominations are not getting hold of this ordinary people as the Baptists are. Now, the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians are fine churches downtown, almost all of them white. Otis Brady set out to make the Central Church a church where all the people were colorblind. Now, Brady was the one man I have known who couldn't tell the difference in a Negro man and a white man. For the life of him, he didn't know which was which. So much so that he didn't have to argue about race or racial equality. For instance, a Negro deacon there now told me that his little boy and Brady's little boy used to play together. And he said they'd get dirty as pigs, and Otis Brady would take them in and dunk them both in the bathtub at the same time and scrub them up, and then Daddy would come and get one of them. Brady wouldn't have known which was which, but the father of the Negro boy could tell. But you don't have to argue about racial problems if you're that blind. And Christians need to be that blind. Colored people don't need to be treated any better than white people. Nor any worse. You see? Now, what do you need over there? Now, you're going to get off easier on that because I don't have time to tell you all you need. But the first thing that you need, if you're going to be a missionary there, is a personal and real experience with God. Now, that sounds a little bit old-fashioned, but when you get over there, that's what you got to have. Now, if by chance you have tried out that Old Testament verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him, he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, he'll have mercy, he'll abundantly pardon." If you've tried that out sincerely, and you found out God's dead, then do something else that's honest and good. But don't go as a missionary, because you have no reason for going, don't you see? It's up to you, and I mean that very sincerely. If you don't know him yourself and know him today, then no go. Second, three things. You have to be a man of intelligence. Now, you may know you're marked out right away. In fact, your school doesn't make a nickel's have much to do with that. Otis Brady wasn't too good at school, but he is about as wise a man as you ever saw. A man of intelligence. A man of integrity. They got plenty of crooks already around there. So you stay here with the rest of the crooks. If that's what you are, you see, has to have a man of intelligence, of integrity, of goodwill. You have to be able to get along in a little group where there is no ruling voice. It has to be a little town hall democracy, the mission group is. Or it is simply wasting Southern Baptist money and achieving nothing. And unfortunately, we have a good many people on mission fields who strut, and a good many people who can't get along with their neighbors. Now, the percentage is not quite as bad as it is here in the homeland, but it's bad enough. And there's no use to plan to go. You just well stay here and go ahead your own little crooked way. If you're not qualified in any of those areas, but if you are, the need is very great, and the response of the people rewarding. And you'd like to sing if you had time, which you don't. O Zion, haste, thy mission high fulfilling. And there's some fine places in many mission fields in the world, and this is one, if you're qualified to go. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit, convictor, comforter, guide, be and abide with you now and evermore.